All right, we appreciate that. Tonight's the last night, and I appreciate everybody coming out this week. I hope you've got something out of it and enjoyed it, and it's been beneficial to you. And five nights is really not enough but just to scratch the surface. And you look at one thing, makes you think about something else, And so we've just sort of covered some basic things, but I started on Monday night and just sort of gave a little outline of the four R's of money. And we've got through three of them. We'll look at the fourth one tonight. But we said, first of all, there's the receiving of money. And we talked about all the different ways that you can, you know, someone might give you some money, you earn money, you get interest on money that you've invested or savings or something like that. So we talked about receiving money. We talked about the rule of money, which had to do with all kinds of giving. And not just tithing, but covered, you know, if somebody calls the house and solicits, you know, to support them in something, you know, what do you do and how do you handle that? And sort of along those lines. Then we talked about last night the retention of money, about saving money. And I thought of another one when I got home. I gave five ways to save money last night, and I thought of another one. Don't pay any more in taxes than you legally have to. A lot of people, especially young people starting out, they go and they say, take out maximum dependence, take out maximum deduction, so I'll get a big return at the end of the year. And when I started working, that was the advice that was given to me. So at the end of the year, you get some money back. But if you do that, you're making the government an interest-free loan on your money, because that's your money. And what you're doing, you're asking the government to take more. And so you ought not to do that. You ought to get that money and save it or invest it or pay some debt down. If you made a little bit on it, you'd do better than the government would do. They just going to, I don't know what they do with it. I don't know if anybody knows what they do with it. Give it to somebody in another country. I don't know. But don't make them an interest-free loan for almost a year. Get back all you can and don't pay any more than you have to. And that's where if you have a CPA or an accountant, they can help you. Make sure you get your deductions and all like that. Don't pay more than you have to. And so we talked about the retention of money, and tonight we're going to talk about the reuse of money, because really that's all we do. We just reuse money. You get it in, and you know, we've got dollar bills from in your pocket from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Look how many hands that's passed through. My grandmother used to tell me and my brother when we was little boys, she'd say, "Don't put that in your mouth. You don't know how many people's been touching that." Money's nasty. It's been all over the place, and that's what we do. We reuse it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about how we spend the money that we do spend. How do we spend our income, or how do we spend our savings, or if you get a bonus at work, or anything like that. How do we use, we want to use our money wisely. The book, we're not going to turn over there, but the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse number 6, describes a lot of Americans how their relationship to money is. And it says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." You ever felt like that? You earned money, you got paid, and you just turn around and you feel like you put it in a bag with holes in it. And you say, what happened to my money? You know, we just got paid. Have you ever looked in your wallet and really thought somebody stole your money? Say, "I had a $100 bill in there on Monday, and here it is Friday and I've got $8. And you get to thinking, where did that go to? Where did that go? What happened to my money? And then you start figuring, well, I got gas, that was $40, and I had to stop by the grocery, and sure enough, you spent it. And it's like you've put it into it just gets gone in a hurry. And so we want to be good stewards of the money that we have. Now, I worked all through high school, and I made pretty good money in high school, especially during the summertime. We get a lot of hours in, and we get paid on Friday. And I remember opening up my first checking account, and I would go right in downtown where First Union used to be, and I'd go in there and I'd cash my check. And I'd cash my check. Sometimes I might put a little in my checking account if I had a car payment, or I would tithe even way back then, but I'd get the rest of that money and I'd stick it in my wallet, and or I'd stick it in a money clip, and I'd carry that money around, and boy, on Friday I was rich, but by next Thursday I was poor. And my way of managing my money was, when I got my check cashed, I just put it in my pocket and I just spent it. You know, I just went along, and whatever whim, or if I seen something I wanted, or whatever us boys would do over the weekend, you know, we just spend our money. And so on Friday you're rich, but on Thursday you're poor. You don't have anything. Somebody asks you to go do something. Well, I can't. I don't have any money. I have to wait till payday. And a lot of times that's how it is. There was no savings. I didn't save any money then. I had very little prudence as far as thinking ahead where I was going to have some money. Just paycheck to paycheck. Paycheck to paycheck is an awful way to live. Paycheck to paycheck is actually broke. Because if anything happens, if you got laid off, if you got fired, if some people work outside and it rained, you didn't get all the hours in, you're just literally broke. And so that's a bad way to live our lives. And it's a very painful way. It's a very discouraging way. It's very discouraging to work hard and to get paid. And you say, okay, I'm going to be all right. And within a few days, you look and you say, well, I don't have any money. What happened to my money? What happened to my money? So it's a very discouraging way to live, being what you think in your mind, rich one day, broke the next day or 2 days. We gave this verse, and I've given a lot of verses this week, and Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20, the Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And that's how I did. That's how a lot of people do. They just spend it up. You get some money, and the next thing you know, it's gone. Probably most everybody knows about the prodigal son in the Bible. And the word prodigal, it means to be a waster. And we talked last night about saving money. What's one of the ways you can save money? Don't be wasteful. But the prodigal son, the reason he's called the prodigal son is because he wasted everything that he had. He wasted his inheritance. In Luke chapter 15 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He was like that foolish man that spendeth it up. He had an inheritance. And I would say, the Bible doesn't say, but it was probably a pretty good chunk of money. And he just went and blew it. And he spent it all up. The foolish man, he does that. He spends it all up. The Lord doesn't bless us with an income just to waste it, just to blow it, just to go through it and spend it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 22. That is a verse you ought to find and underline it. And we've been in the book of Proverbs for the most part this week. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Do you know how much sorrow is associated with money in a lot of people's lives? Broke, needy, don't have. It's just a heartbreak. It's discouragement. It's depression having to do with money, but the blessing of the Lord. Now, when it says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. That doesn't mean Donald Trump, you know. That's not talking about there's excessive wealth. It's not talking, now if God made you excessively wealthy, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But the rich man, he's in control of his own fate. He has his needs met. He's not living paycheck to paycheck. He has some assets in his life. And I wish I'd have got to talk about that one night, but everybody needs to know that the difference between assets and liabilities. An asset is something that you have that is worth something. A liability is something that you have that costs you something. And so our wealth is actually measured by our assets. That's not just money or money in the bank. It's a car that you have that's paid for. That's an asset. A car that you have that you're upside down in, which means that you owe more than it's worth, that's a liability. So the rich man, he's got some assets. He's got some worth, physically, financially speaking. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, you get to talking about money, and money is, it's got a bad rap. You know, rich, you think about somebody that's rich. You think about somebody that's spending money on evil things. But money is amoral, which means it's just a thing. It is neither good nor bad. It's how you use it. It's how you view it in your heart. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, and which while some coveted after, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Money's not evil, but loving it. That's where you run into. I mean, people kill for money. People rob for money, for nothing. And so there's definitely, it has an influence on us one way or the other. But having it, talking about it, looking at what the Bible says, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to know what the Bible says. But we want to guard against loving it. There's people, they want money. That's all they think about. Money, money, money. How can I get it? How can I get more of it? Why was it? It's a while back, one of these banks, maybe a couple of them, they got in big trouble for lying to their customers about interest rates or something. I forget what it was. And I seen today that AT&T was going to get probably one of the largest fines in all of history because they were lying to their customers about their data usage plans on their phones. And what they had lied to them about was once they used so much data, their service started to slow down. So they're going to fine them. Oh, it was ridiculous. It was like $100 million, something like that. You'd think AT&T's making all the money, that why they got to lie? Because human nature is want more. Why would a bank lie to its customers and get more money off? Because human nature is to want more. Why do rich people get put in prison for embezzlement and cheating on the stock market and all like that? Because human nature wants more, more, more. And so the love of money, love of money is the root of all evil. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Whatever God blesses us with, we are to be good stewards of. And that just means take care of it. Manage our money. And I'm going to give you some things quickly tonight just about the reuse of money. Five or six, seven things, something like that we'll look at tonight. I got paid, I stuck it in my pocket. And as a need comes up, I'll spend it. And then when I don't have no more money, I'll just have to wait out till it. That's bad. That's a bad plan. There's a far better way to take care of our money, and it's called a budget. And so that is number one advice, number one way to watch after our money is to have a budget. Governments have budgets. State governments have budgets. County governments, city governments have budgets. Military has a budget. You name it, right on down the line. Businesses have budgets. Churches have budgets. But a lot of people, they have no budget. They just pulling it out of their pocket till it's gone. But a budget helps us do some things. A budget ought to be written down at the beginning of every month. You say, preacher, do you really do that? Well, I don't, but Kim does. She really does every month. And boy, when it comes to money, she's the gatekeeper. And she writes everything down at the beginning of the month, where it's going to go. A budget is not a... It doesn't have to be a complicated thing, but it just helps you wrap your mind around what's coming in, what's got to go out, and it lets you see where you are. And so she writes that down every month, income, outflow, and just write it down, whatever it is. There's some things every month you know that it's going to have to be paid. If you tithe, You can go ahead and put that in there. You know what that is. Your electric bill. You pretty much know, based off last month, what that's going to be. We pretty much know how much gas we're going to buy throughout the month. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. We live right across from the gas station. So we've got one of them value cards. It's not a credit card. But you go in there and I'll give them a $100 bill. They'll put it on that card, and every time I get gas, it's 5 cents cheaper than what it is at the pump. And we know we're going to spend so much a month. So a couple of times a month, I'll go in there, and that's how we do. But it's not a surprise. We've planned for that. So when it comes, you have to get gas. So what you're doing with a budget... Every dollar is pre-designated. This goes here, this goes here, this goes here. And if you do that at the beginning of the month, you can see about where you are, what's going to be left over. Kim knows, she's really amazing. She can take a $100 bill to Walmart and walk through and count that up in her head and be within about $1.50 every time. She did that the other day. She'll tell me. She's proud of herself because of it. She took $120 last week. She said, how much you think it's going to be? It was $119 and some cents. And that's what she had. But she's done it a long time. And so a budget just helps you think about it. You've already thought about what's coming in, what's got to be given out, and so it's a great thing. I gave in the Bible several examples. I talked about Joseph, how that he was a overseer over the house. We talked about the wise man in the book of Proverbs. We talked about the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter number 31, how that they took care of and watched over their money. And I haven't said very much about this, but in the New Testament, there's several parables about the stewards. The stewards in the New Testament. And the word steward means to be a household manager. And there's the wise steward, And there's the wicked stewards. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" So it talks about the wise and the faithful steward. Luke chapter number 16, turn over there and we'll read a few verses over there. Luke chapter number 16. Let me find it here too. Luke chapter 16 in verse 1, it said, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." See, the other one, he's a wise and faithful steward. This fella, he's been wasteful. Verse 2, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." You know what happened to him? He got fired. "I want to see the account book, and you're fired." That's what happened in verse 1 and verse number 2. And so there's several stewards in the Bible, and he was fired because he wasted his goods. So a steward is a manager, and God has called us to be good managers over our money, and that's all that is, just overseeing what's coming in, what's going out. And that's one way we can get a handle on reusing money. Another, I'm gonna call it this: don't pay too much for the whistle. Don't pay too much for the whistle. Now, there's a story behind that, and I read a story about Benjamin Franklin when he was a little boy, and he was out in town, and there were some boys that had a store-bought whistle, and Benjamin Franklin thought that was the neatest thing he had ever seen, and he just had to have it. And so he asked the other little boy if he would sell it to him, and the little boy sold it to him, and Benjamin Franklin went home, and he was happy as could be. He had a new whistle, and like all these young'uns the other night, I said, "You give a young'un a whistle, what are they going to do? They're going to blow it." And so Benjamin Franklin went home, and he was blowing his whistle all over the house, and he had 17 brothers and sisters. I don't guess they were all at home at the same time, but his brothers and sisters, they asked him, "Where'd you get that whistle?" And so he told them. He said, "I bought it off of a boy." And they said, "What did you give him for it?" And he told. And they laughed at Benjamin Franklin, and they said, he said he found out he paid four times what he could have went to the store and bought a new whistle for. And Benjamin Franklin said that he learned a lesson there, and the rest of his life he used that. When he would go to buy something, he'd say, "Don't pay too much for the whistle. Don't pay too much for the whistle." And so if we're not careful in life, we can, be paying too much for the whistle. And now Kim likes to go to Walmart. I don't like to go to Walmart. Unless it's about 7 o'clock in the morning. You might get in and out, but I don't like to go. And I don't think it's good that all the other grocery stores are so much higher than Walmart. And Kim will go to Walmart and she'll say, "Well, they don't have this." I said, "Well, you better get used to it, because that's all there's going to be if some of these other grocery stores can't compete." And so, well, I'd rather go up to Harris Teeter. I just like the store better. But it costs more. It is more expensive. And Kim has showed me several times. I mean, the same thing be way cheaper at Walmart than it is anywhere else. And it's not just one or two things. Now, I like Harris Teeter. But Do I like them good enough just to go up there and give them more money for the same thing? That'd be foolish. It'd be foolish to do that. Now, if my last name was Teeter, I might bite the bullet and go on it. You know, if that's somebody in my family. But we know that's not the case of it. And so it pays us literally to look around, shop around. There's all kinds of ways to reuse money, and by doing that, saving money, coupons, sales, things like that. You know what? We was talking the other night about the Jewish people, and even in the Bible, they were forbidden to use usury on their own people, which is excessive interest. But do you know, if you ask for a discount, you know what that's called? Jewing. And that comes from the reputation of the Jewish people. And when we were little, we'd go somewhere and Dad, he'd start. And he'd just embarrass me to death. And I remember I'd say, well, why you got to do that? Why, that is so embarrassing. He'd say, now what's the least you'd take for that? You know. And, you know, most of the time he'd get to talking to the guy. That used to just embarrass me to death. But there's nothing wrong with that. Within most businesses have built in, and they know that people are going to come in. And, you know, especially if you can go to Lowe's and you can buy the same thing, they realize that. So it does not hurt, especially like you guys, and you know this, you men, you go in a gun store, they've got all that built in. I promise you, they might say, that is the least. I can't take a penny less for it. They wouldn't put it out there on the shelf like that. They know everybody that comes through is going to ask. They're going to ask. And so don't pay too much for the whistle. And it pays to, if you're buying, selling, trading, you ought to know what you got, what it's worth. It's not hard to find out what things are going for. So that's just some ways. Learn math. And it's amazing. Advertising is sneaky. And it'll look like one thing's cheaper than another thing. But I carry, you know, everybody's got phones. Everybody's got a calculator right there with them. And I've stood right there in the store. And I'm not ashamed to do that. I bought something the other day and it said there's two different products. It's the same thing, two different companies. One said $2 for $3 and the other one was $3 for $5. Now just right off the top of my head, I thought, well, $3 for $5, that sounds better. But that's not better. One is $1.50 a piece and the other is $1.666667 a piece. So, you know, just looking at things and it'll help. But don't pay too much for the whistle. And make a budget and go by that budget throughout the month. Here's something else that'll help you learn to reuse your money wisely. Learn the difference between what you need and what you want. And a lot of times that's hard. There's been times I have convinced myself that I needed whatever. And I went ahead and bought it. And has anybody ever experienced buyer's remorse? You bought it, you brought it home, you looked at it, and you said, I didn't need that. Why did I buy that? Why did I pay that? And boy, if you've done something like that and put it on a credit card, you really have buyer's remorse. Why did I do that? I bought something a while back. A preacher had told me about this electronic thing. And he'd said, you know, it's just the best thing in the world. And I decided I wanted one. And I'd thought about it for months. Well, I heard him tell it in February. And I went and bought one in the past 2 weeks. But I told Kim, I said, if that don't work exactly like it's supposed to. I said, I'm taking it back. And I took it home. That's when I seen you that morning in Walmart. What do you think? That didn't work, worth nothing. And so I took it back. When I got it, I had buyer's remorse, but I kept the receipt. I put it back in the box. I took it apart real careful, put it back just like it was, and I took it right back to the store as soon as it didn't work. Now, there's a time where I'd have just, well, I'm embarrassed to take it back. But don't be embarrassed to take it back. I told Kim, I said, will they take it back? She said, they'll take anything back. They'll take rotten tomatoes back. I mean, if you got something wrong, they'll take it back. They're used to that. And now, I'm not talking about doing something wrong or sneaky, but I'm just saying, don't have buyer's remorse. Sister Judy told me one time, we was talking about, Sister Judy Garland, we was talking about buying things that you don't need. I can't remember. But I'd preached and said something, and she told me, she said, here's what I do. If I'm at the store, she said, I'll put it in the buggy and walk around the store like I paid for it. And if I can get all the way back around, a lot of times I'll decide I didn't need that. And I've done that now. I'll put it in the buggy, walk around, think about it, think about that money coming out of my pocket. It's going to be gone. Do I really need that? A lot of times you'll go and put it back. I don't need that. And so we're talking about reusing money. Here's what the Bible says about money. Proverbs 23:5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Well, that paycheck will get gone. Gets gone in a hurry. That's Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 5. And so you got to really ask yourself, do I need it or do I just want it? And that'll help you a lot of times. I'm going to say just a few things about something I don't know anything about, and that's investing, or I don't know much about. But I look in the Bible. What's the Bible say about investing? Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 19, Matthew chapter number 18. We'll go to Luke chapter 19. You may have been close there a minute ago. But the Bible does say a lot about investing. Is it a good thing? Luke chapter 19, we're going to read verse number 15. The Bible said, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. They were trading on money way back then. And it's talking about the master. He'd went away, and he gave some money to certain of his servants for them to take care of it while he was gone. Verse 16, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He'd invested that money. That's what he had done. And there was a return on his investment. In verse 17, he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. He didn't do anything with it. Just kept it, just held on to it. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank? They had trading, they had banks, they had interest. That at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. He expected a return on his investment. They were to take that money and invest it. And I gave those other scriptures, Luke 12, Luke 16, Matthew chapter number 18. But the wicked servant, he's the one that had some money, but he didn't do anything with it. And Dave Ramsey said that, I was reading his book, he said that savings just sitting around not working for you is garbage. And he teaches that your money ought to work for you and that you ought to be gaining interest on it. You ought to be getting a return on an investment. There's all kinds of things. But I'll just say Dave Ramsey, he suggests mutual funds. And I'd thought, you know, if I knew and trusted somebody real, a whole lot on something like that, I'd get a little class together and get them to come and talk about that. But you definitely find the pattern in the Bible that money is to use, not just set there. Same thing with an inheritance. It's to be used wisely. And that's the fifth thing I want to say a little bit about. There's investing, and they're going to come up at 15 after, so we've got to move along. But the Bible says this about inheritance. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. The word inheritance is used 239 times in the Bible. And the Bible says a lot about it. The Lord, He directed the children of Israel that they would not lose their land. And this is a in detail thing when you get to talking about the year of Jubilee, and every 50 years they were to get their original land back, and it was a complicated matter, but the whole thing was set up so families wouldn't lose the land that they had inherited. And the firstborn son, you read in the Bible about a double portion, he was to receive a inheritance. And so the Bible has a great deal to say about inheritance. Somebody asked me, should we set aside money or leave an inheritance to our children, whether it's land or money or possessions or whatever it is? The fact is, you will leave something. You know, whatever is there when you die, you will leave it to somebody. And it is far better that it's been thought out ahead of time. Now, what's going to happen to my stuff, whether it's little, whether it's things? What is going to happen when I die? And what we're doing, and that gets into having a will. Everybody ought to have a will. If you have a will, you are the one that decides who gets what. If you do not have a will, I wrote this down. If you do not have a will, the state decides and the family divides. Who's going to get who gets first shot? The government does. If you don't have a will, what we're saying is, well, the government's got it. They'll take care. They've got it all right. They'll get it. They'll disperse it. Your children, heirs, and a lot of problems could be avoided if the parents had a will and said, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. And the great thing about a will, you don't have to tell nobody what you're going to do. You can be gone and they'll just find out. And so you don't have to hurt anybody's feelings, you know. But it's far better for you to decide than to just leave it up to chance and let the state or whoever's left decide. There's a lot of good families I've seen. And Brother Ben, I know he's seen dealing with land and stuff. Families you wouldn't think would fight and argue over stuff. Mom and daddy's gone, and boy, They don't speak to each other. You know, grew up together and all that. So a will would save a whole lot of fussing. And all that is just pre-designating. This is going here, this is going here, this is going here. And then it's decided. But the thing is, you decided, not somebody else. It's your money. You work for it. You saved it. It's your retirement. It's your land, your house. You ought to decide what happens to it, not somebody else. And so that's what I would say about an inheritance. Somebody will get it if they see anything. All that is left to decide is who's going to get it. I'd rather decide than the government, or to have my children fight about this or that. And I know how we are. Oh, my children wouldn't do that. Oh, they're all sinners. They'll all fight. You get the right circumstances and you'll find people will do things you wouldn't think they would do. Go ahead. Right. Yeah. Right. And Brother Winford.
And wills can easily be changed.
Yeah. So once you have a will, it's not that it's written in stone. Yeah. So that's something to definitely think about. How many minutes? Okay. It's almost 15 after. I'll mention one more, and that's retirement. Should we plan ahead or just trust the Lord? We should do both. We should plan ahead as we trust the Lord. And so that is definitely something to think about. But whatever we do, it's our responsibility. If we leave it up to Uncle Sam to take care of us in the future, we might be sad. So, all right, I think we'll have to close there. Let me see. I'll say this before I close. The young people need to hear this. They need to be in here. But I would say to us, no matter where you are, it's not too late to start. It's not late. It's not too late to start getting out of debt. It's not too late to start savings. And but I'll say this: if you never start, then it'll be too late. And so these are some good things to think about. I'm so glad we done this week. I hope it's been a help to you. And we'll let you go. Let Brother Terry ring the bell.